universities too, and to walk in a way that pleases Almighty God, to bear a good testimony before our fellow man. We come to praise thy glorious name, to give thanks unto the Lord, and to proclaim, as the psalmist did in this reading, that thou art good, and thy mercy endureth forever, and thou art a God that men should praise, and to praise for your goodness and your wonderful works to the children of men. We look back through the centuries of time, and we can mark out the wonderful works of God from biblical history through church history right until the present time. We thank thee for those wonderful works in our own lives, what the Lord has wrought for us personally. We praise thee afresh for redemption and salvation through the blood of Christ. We thank thee for the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank thee that we can say in the words of the hymn writer, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." It is our desire that others will have such a testimony too, very mindful that every Sabbath day there are those who come to worship with us and they're out of Christ without a Saviour. There are those indeed who listen in on sermon audio and they are still strangers to your grace and to God. We pray for them now, earnestly, that thou wilt turn them from their sinful ways to seek Christ as their Saviour, that thou wouldst work effectually in their hearts by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it is thy work to convict men of their sin. It is thy work to convince them of their need of Christ. And for such a holy work we pray for this Sabbath day here at Hebron and through all of our churches, those that gather physically to listen to the word and those that are tuned in on the internet. Lord, speak to them just where they are. Remember our missionary cause through the world. We thank thee for those who have left the comforts of home and have gone to serve the living Christ in other parts, bringing the gospel to the nations of the world. Bless them in their ministry today. In their assemblies, may the power of God be evident and felt, and may signs follow the preaching of the word. Remember indeed all the sick of the congregation, those that appear every week on our prayer list, and others besides. We commit them to the grace of God. We pray that thou wilt bless this Sabbath and in the incoming week the many things that will be done leading up to the Easter Convention at the Martyrs. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon that time, both on the Friday night and on the Monday. Bless those ministers whose responsibility it will be to bring the word. We pray for changes. We pray for mighty works of God to be done. We pray that thou wilt send revival over that weekend. Remember the choirs that take part and the reports that will be given. May there be the sound of abundance of rain and the mighty power of God falling upon every service. Give us an Easter convention to remember. Remember also the special Saturday night meeting in Resharkin and young Christina, she is set aside for the work of God among children. We pray that you'll bless that night that is yet to be. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into thy care, and we pray that thou wilt manifest thyself among us now in Jesus' precious name, and for God's eternal glory we pray. Amen and amen. The hymn 445. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. 445. great name of our Savior Jesus Christ to all who have come to worship here. We might have a few visitors that are not normally with us today. Special welcome to you. Good to have you in the absence of so many. Some will be returning for tonight. Most of them, in fact, should be back again tonight. But others are away on holiday and enjoying, in some cases, a better climate. I want to make the announcements for today and the incoming week. You remember tonight is a special night. It's a parents' night for Youth Challenge. The Lord has been working among our children in recent weeks. Many of them have professed faith in Christ, and we're very encouraged by that. And tonight, bringing the work to a conclusion for this term, there will be the parents' night at 7. I'll be here to speak in the will of the Lord, and the children will take part to sing a few of the choruses that they normally sing on a Tuesday night. And we are praying that parents will come in under the sound of the gospel tonight. Remember also, today is building fund for our own congregation. Refreshments will be served after the meeting tonight, and ladies, you're asked to provide those things that are necessary, as you see it there on the announcement sheet. Because of the Easter holidays, there will be no parent and toddlers group for the next couple of weeks, so none tomorrow morning, obviously. For those who could come tomorrow night and give a little bit of their time, it will not take long to do this, but we did look at the container. It's all full, it's ready to go, but it does look a little bit shabby, so we're going to paint it, give it a quick lick of paint. This container will be collected in the will of God on Thursday, and then on Easter Monday, setting off to be driven to Romania. And I don't know, it'll take 2.5-3 days to get to Romania. There'll be two drivers responsible for that as they deliver it on the other side. So thank you for all who have been involved in this. And just let me say, if you can join us for a wee group tomorrow night, if you're any way handy with a paintbrush, your presence here and your help would be appreciated. Tuesday morning is senior fellowship. There will be an Easter theme at the fellowship meeting at 11. The Prospect Nursing Home in Ballymena has asked us to come and do their Easter service this coming Tuesday at 2:30. If any of you can come and join us, let us know. We'll be glad to have your help. The Youth Challenge children's meetings then finish on Tuesday night. We're having the parents' night tonight, not next week because it's Easter. So the parents' night normally follows the last meeting, not so in this case. So remember, there's one more. It's the prize night for the children on Tuesday night as they bring in their tokens. Choir practice is at 8 o'clock for the Hebron Choir, and a full turnout is encouraged. As you know, you're singing at the Easter Convention. You're also singing here next Sabbath day, so these practices are very important for the choir. Wednesday night, our school committee meeting will meet at 7:15. The committee meeting is at 8 o'clock. Thursday night's service is at 8 p.m. Easter Convention then at the Martyrs Memorial at 8 o'clock. Remember Mr. Chris Killen, who will be preaching the word on Friday night, and others as they take part. Reports will be given and choirs will participate. Saturday morning, the open air in the centre of our town at 11 o'clock. And then the Easter missionary rally, the annual one in Resharkin, is at 7:30 on Saturday night. We encourage your presence there. The mission board will be officially setting aside Christina Logan as she comes under the mission board as a child's evangelist. Reverend Harris was to be preaching, but the Reverend Colin Mercer will be the preacher on Saturday night. Remember the Reverend Harris in prayer. As you know, he needs the prayerful remembrance of the church, and we were thinking about him very especially last Thursday night at our midweek service. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Now, 8 o'clock is not early. And you know, next Lord's Day is Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised to life again. And it's the resurrection day. So let's have a resurrection morning, and let's be raised out of our beds to come and pray, to worship together, to read together, to pray together. and get up and come to the prayer meeting on Easter Sunday morning. There were those who rose a great while before day, before daylight, and came to the tomb to meet the Saviour. They rose much, much earlier than would you and I have to come to the prayer meeting. And we're coming to meet with the living Saviour. We know that he's alive. We know that he's been raised. Those who came early that morning did not know, but some of them had the great experience of seeing the Lord. And if we just have that experience of seeing the Lord at our prayer meeting and meeting with him, what a blessed time that will be. The Sabbath school and the Bible class at the usual times are Easter Sunday services, 12 noon and 7. I'll be here to preach in the will of God. The evening time is preceded by the half hour of prayer. And again, ladies, if you can bring half a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns for the supper, we thank you for that. We always have a special Easter building fund offering, and the envelopes for the Missionary Council are due in, and the Covenant support for the school. The current magazine, for those who subscribe to the North American magazine, is available today. It's in the porch as you leave. The Missionary Council weekend, the booking forms for that, it's taking place in November, are at the door also. If you'd like to join us, you'll be very welcome. There is a special season of prayer, not just for Presbytery members, but for all of our members and friends in our congregations, taking place on the last Saturday of this month, the 27th, from 10 o'clock until 1 p.m. in Lisburn Free Church. And this prayer meeting has been set aside to pray for an awakening among the unconverted. I think that's a good subject to have in mind as we come to seek the Lord that day. We want many of you to travel, if you can, to Lisburn. Let me remind you about the Answers in Genesis Conference. On Thursday, the 16th of May, 7 o'clock, there will be two sessions, The Diversity of Man, from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock, breaking off for refreshments and also time to see literature there that they will bring. Recommencing at 8:30 for The New Origin of Species, and we have coming Dr. Nathaniel Jensen from the United States of America. We have been able to secure this dear man of God going into our local high schools in the town, into Dalriada and also into the high school, and then the next day going to Cookstown High School for three sessions there. So we want you to pray for his visit coming to us and also visiting schools at the same time. Want to congratulate David and Rachel McCauley. We did hear after the service last Sunday night about the birth of their baby daughter, Eloise, and we do rejoice with them in the midst of it all, and we're very thankful for the safe arrival of this little one. We pray for her as a congregation as she grows up in this world, that the blessing of God will be upon the child and bring her to Christ early in life. You will see in the announcement sheet those that we commend to you for prayer. Madge Bevan, Nat Story, my mother-in-law, she got out of hospital. We're very thankful about that. Our sister, Mrs. Holmes, was also in hospital but has got out. Eamon was in hospital and got out yesterday. Pray for him. Barbara Strong is still in hospital. Remember Jane. Remember Beth Graham, Kate McFarland, Mervyn Ferris, Brother Dr. Bill Woods, Dr. Mark Allison, Reverend Harris, we've indicated that as well. And the others who have been on the prayer list still need our prayers, of course. And then we're doing a short mission in Auchnacloy at the end of the month, 28th of April to the Friday night, the 3rd, and we would appreciate you remembering us in prayer. We did talk about the after-church youth rally in Coleraine. It's the Clock Mills man who is speaking. That is tonight, Reverend Brian Lorimore, and Mrs. Jenna Lorimore is the singer. Young people, you're welcome at the Coleraine Youth Rally this evening. Pray for Dr. Cairns as he commences studies, encouragements for the end times. These are Easter Bible teaching meetings commencing today and running through to next Lord's Day, Sundays at 7, weeknights at 8 p.m. If you can travel to Cookstown any night this week at 8 o'clock, you'll be made most welcome there. But certainly Dr. Cairns would value your prayerful remembrance. These are all the announcements. As far as I know, we're going to sing another hymn, an offering hymn, 471. We bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord now as we worship him in doing so. And we sing together 471. Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. 471. Let's all turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We continue, and we're also drawing near to the end of this study, but we continue with our study in the Judges. We have included outside the book of Judges Eli and Samuel, who have been recognized as the last two judges. And we come to message 5 as we think of Samuel and his family disappointment. You'll understand why as we read these verses. This title has been put upon it. Many of our families are away today. Our young people are away today. We certainly would like all of our families to hear this message. Maybe they'll be able to catch up with it later. We'll see how we get on today also, as the Lord helps us and enables us. We may have to come back to it, but we will look to the Lord for help and wisdom as we bring this word today. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. And we'll end the reading there at the 8th verse, trusting as ever that God Almighty will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. We will bow together briefly in prayer, looking to the Lord again for his help and wisdom and power and grace in the ministry of the word. Lord, we're very conscious that in some of our churches the word will be coming to an end very shortly. Other places that meet at the same time as us, perhaps just beginning like we are. We pray for the preaching of the Word of God this day, that it will be powerful in all of our pulpits. We do pray for our brother Cairns as he commences this special week in Cookstown, that the hand of God will be upon him and upon the people who come to hear. Make the Word of God precious in these days. Thy word that is despised by so many. Thy commandments that are trampled under feet by the vast majority of the people in our nation. At least to your people, make the word of God precious. Give us a love for it. Give us desires to be ever in it, to read it, to meditate upon it, to live by it. And give us, Lord, desires to be in the house of God where it is expounded, that we might learn from thee together. Lord, speak to us now. Open up your word and grant to this preacher that fresh touch of the mighty God in his life, the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon him. Lord, I claim the promised Holy Ghost now. Give me utterances. Give me words to say. Direct my mind and, Lord, my heart. Bless this congregation for Jesus' sake. Amen. Samuel has raised his Ebenezer to the Lord in chapter 7, declaring, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He's acknowledging the mercy of God in a marvelous and miraculous deliverance. The Philistines had marched against Israel with the intention of war, bloodshed and invasion. They came in a time of revival, when the hearts of the children of Israel were stirred by the Lord to seek after him. And we have already seen how the devil, the great enemy, still comes in such times, in times of revival, in times of blessing, when God is moving in our midst. So often the devil comes in like a flood. The enemy came in the midst of solemn worship as Samuel is offering the lamb upon the altar and seeking God and praying on the grounds of the shed blood. It was at that very moment the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. In answer to the prayers of Samuel, God stepped into the scene. He came in defense of his people to deliver them. You just look back to the previous chapter, chapter 7, and mark verses 10 and 11 again. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder in that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth Kar. In commemoration of this tremendous victory, Samuel sets up his Ebenezer stone, acknowledging the help that God had given, the intervention of the Almighty on behalf of his people. He gives honor and praise to the Lord who did these things. The stone was a reminder to Israel of God's great mercy in this deliverance. Now, a couple of years have passed by, and we now enter into the history of chapter 8, and we come to this very sad historical account of the chapter, outlining Israel desiring a king to reign over them. Up until this point in their history, the nation of Israel had been a theocracy. God had reigned over them. God had sat upon the throne. He had raised up deliverers. He had raised up judges in times past. But the Lord was their king. Now they desire to be a monarchy. They want to have a king to reign over them and to judge them like all the nations. That's important. That couldn't have been a good thing. Wanting to be like the heathen nations that were round about. Wanting to be like the godless. We think of all those nations that were round about Israel that were filled with idolatry and godlessness, and they wanted to be like these nations. It wasn't a good thing anymore. Now, it's a good thing for Christians to want to be like the world round about. Not a good thing at all. This news troubled the prophet. The thing displeased Samuel, we're told there in verse 6. And once again, he sought the Lord. He made it a matter of prayer. It's always the course that Samuel took. Samuel is one of the most godly men that we read about in the Bible. And whenever trouble came, whenever a crisis arose in the nation, whenever Samuel didn't know what to do or where to turn or what decision to make, he always sought the Lord, and here he spreads the matter before God again. And here's what God told Samuel. Look at verse 7 of chapter 8. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. It's the background of Israel's desire to have a king that I want to bring to your attention this afternoon. It's because Samuel's sons were unfit men to judge Israel that Israel began to hanker after a king. It really makes sad reading in this history, in the record of Samuel's biography, this unhappy situation in the family of such a good and a godly leader as Samuel was. We're going to be reminded about our solemn obligations in our families. At least we're going to think about that in the course of this message. We're going to be reminded about bringing up our families according to biblical and spiritual principles. And we will think, even though we may not emphasize it through the message, we will think about those Bible words like teach. We ought to teach our children the right way. Train. We ought to train them in the ways of God. Admonish. Another word, as they are instructed and they are corrected in so many ways in the things of God. This message is for us as families and what we desire for our families, and maybe sometimes how families turn out. And this really is a very sad portion of Scripture when we think of the disappointment that came to the family of Samuel. I want you to notice in the first place, as you look there at verse 2, and I think it's brought out in this verse, and I'll show you how in a moment or two, the expectation of Samuel. What was the expectation of this father for his children? What was the desire of his heart as he thought about these two young men that had been brought into his home? You will know that it was the desire of every godly Jewish father and mother that their children would grow up to know the Lord, that they would love him, that they would serve him, that they would honor him and walk in his ways. Children who would obey the commandments and live by the standards of God's holy law. Something similar to that of every godly parent today. What we see in godly families in Israel is just the same as today, all these centuries later. What our desires are, what our expectations are, what our aspirations are for our children, we want them to be brought up in the right way. We want them to love the Lord. We want them to come to know him in grace. We want our children to follow him, to serve him, to please him as they live in this world. God had given to every true, serious-minded, God-fearing Jew his law, which embraced grave responsibilities to the children born in their homes. First of all, to the individual, regarding commandments and the statutes of God, the Lord commanded, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Some of you will know immediately that these are words from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6. This is what it was for Israel, the adult population, the parents of these godly homes. What was expected? First of all, to themselves. Before any mention now is made of the children, we want you to love God, to love Jehovah your God. And they were even told how to love him with all the heart, with all their soul, with all their might. And regarding his law, these words which I command, they are to be in thine heart. And this is where it must begin as parents, as the adult population today in all of our godly homes. We're to love the Lord and we're to love him. And this whole thought is brought out from Old Testament times right into New Testament times, with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the might, with all our strength. It is indeed a summary of the whole law of God, that we love the Lord. And if we have got that right, everything else will fall into place. And his words are to be right in our hearts too. We're to live by them. But immediately following that instruction in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6, there comes then this instruction concerning the children. You make sure you're right as parents, but now here is your grave responsibility to those young people that are growing up in your family, in your church, wherever you have influence over young people. Thou shalt teach them, this is the law of God, diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. In other words, at every conceivable opportunity, the children are to be taught in the ways of God. You're sitting in your house. We've got the family altar there, haven't we? Time when we gather the children around our feet for instruction, and we're teaching them the ways of divine truth. When you walk by the way, you're out for a walk. In Israel, they walked a lot. Today, you could probably say when you drive in your car, you're going out for a family outing, you're traveling from one place to another, it's a good opportunity in the confinement of your car to be able to talk to them about the things of God and to remind them what God requires of them. When they lie down at night, when they rise up in the morning, last thing at night, first thing in the morning, our children need to be taught in the ways of God. This was the solemn obligation that was placed upon Israel. And godly Jews took their obligation seriously. And they longed for their children to be trained and taught diligently in the things of God. Now, more than often when children were born, they were given names of special significance. And We're directing your attention to verse 2 here as we think of the expectation of Samuel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And so we're saying to you that very often when children were born, they were given special names. They were given names that had solemn meanings. Or those names contained certain aspirations. As parents named them, those names had a meaning. And they had a desire. They had an aspiration in a parent's heart how these children would turn out. Today we don't give the same kind of attention. I'm sure that parents still choose the names of their children carefully. Children have to live with that name for the rest of their life, so parents generally choose very carefully. But it's not the same as it was back in Israel for maybe the majority of people today. People are given names because maybe other members in the family have that name. I just happen to be David the Third. And there's a David the Fourth, and prior to us there was the first and the second as well. So it just naturally followed in our home that when a son was born, that son would be given the name David. Others choose a name because they like it. They choose a name because it's unusual. They choose a name because it's popular. Or maybe somebody famous goes with that name. But there's a certain amount of thought given in the choice of the name that children will have today. But if you were a Jew and you lived especially back in Old Testament times, even on into the New Testament, when a name was given, it was very important what that name was, and very often that name carried a thought. And I believe we see it over and over again. Othniel, for example, he was the first judge. We're now dealing with the last judge, but Othniel was given a special name by his parents, and his name means Lion of God. He probably didn't foresee, or his parents didn't foresee, what would happen subsequently in the life of Othniel and what God would do in his life. But it was the thought of those parents, it was the desire of those parents as Othniel grew up, that he would know something of the power and the strength of God, the lion-like character of God in his life and the way that he lived. And certainly when Othniel came to be chosen by God to be the first judge, that's the kind of a man that he needed to be. He needed to be a lion-like man, and he needed to know something of the Lion of God in his life, because he came into the scene in one of the darkest periods of history that Israel has ever known. And you have to go back many months now to the beginning of our study in this to remember these things, but you remember how Israel had fallen away, the new generation had been raised up, they knew not God, Joshua is dead, the elders are dead, and now this new generation of children had grown up not knowing the Lord. And it was a time of wickedness, a time of great immorality, and a time of great idolatry. The two always go hand in hand. And Israel has given themselves over to serving Baal and Ashtoreth. And God raises up this man Othniel, Lion of God, the kind of a man that God needed in that era of history. We think of Joash, one of the young kings that came to the throne. His name means Jehovah is strong, and he needed to be strong. As a young man coming to the throne, he needed to know the strength of God in his life. Elijah, my God is Jehovah. I'm sure his parents didn't foresee how this young man in their home would be used so mightily by God. And it seems in the history that Elijah just appears on the scene. Don't know anything about his childhood or his young manhood, but he just drops into the scene out of nowhere. But here is a man that needs to prove, my God is the Lord, in the midst of that period of time, which was later in the history here, when Israel again had departed. And we'll come to mention a little bit of that in our study when we think about Ahab. But anyhow, Elijah needed to know that God was Jehovah. When Israel had departed to serve Baal, his name was proclaiming what needed to be proclaimed in the nation at that time: my God is Jehovah. Isaiah, salvation of Jehovah. What a lovely name given to the evangelical prophet. And his whole book proclaims that evangelical thought of Christ and points to the Lord more than any other prophet. You think of John in the New Testament, God is gracious, Matthew, gift of God, Timothy, honoring God. All these names being chosen by parents because these parents had a thought, they had an aspiration or an expectation how their children would grow up. And I believe that was so with Samuel. He calls his firstborn son Joel. And Joel means Jehovah is God. You don't really need to know a lot about Hebrew to see that in the name. That the first part of the name, there's only four letters in the English, but the first part of the name contains letters from the word Jehovah. And El, you will probably know, is the word for God. And so Joel's name means Jehovah is God. His second born is called Abiah, and his name means whose father is Jehovah. Now these names would remind these young men growing up who the true God of Israel was. Jehovah is God. There had been many times in the Judges period when the children of Israel apostatized, they went a whoring after other gods, and they forsook the Lord God, Jehovah. They worshipped and they served false deities. In subsequent days, the same would be happening. You run on a little bit in the history of the Israelites, you come to the days of the prophet Elijah. And in his days, dark times had come to the kingdom. The godless Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel were on the throne. It is said of this king that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And that's a phrase that is used often with a number of the kings that we read about. All of the kings of Israel were evil men. And some of the kings of Judah were evil men. And so often the Lord just put that little phrase in to describe, to summarize what they were like, what their history was like. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. But when you come to read about Ahab, there is this extra part of the sentence. There's this little information given. He did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. There was not a more wicked man to ascend the throne of Israel than this man, Ahab. And when he married Jezebel, the scripture tells us he went and served Baal and worshipped him. The prophet of fire, Elijah, was sent to contend with him and the false prophets of Baal. And there on the summit of Carmel, the great contest took place. The public declaration of the true God. The God that answers by fire. Let him be God. And that was the agreement among both parties. The God who answers by fire, he's to be recognized as the true God. The Baalite prophets failed miserably despite all their strenuous efforts. You know the history. They brought their sacrifice. They put it on the altar. They called upon their God from morning until evening. They danced about. They jumped on the altar. They cut themselves. Oh, maybe if their God could see the blood that was now flowing from their body, then he would send the fire. But you see, Baal was no God. He was a false deity. And so they failed miserably because there was no one to hear them. But the prophet Elijah, he calls upon the Lord. The God of Elijah answered by fire. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And this public display of power and reality of God brought the people to declare, the Lord, it's the word Jehovah, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And this is the truth that is proclaimed in Joel's name. Jehovah is God. Samuel wanted this truth to be ingrained upon the mind of his young son growing up in those days of darkness and decline. There is but one true and living God, the sovereign, the almighty, the covenant-keeping God, and his name is Jehovah. This title occurs something like 7,600 times in the scripture and is generally rendered as the Lord in the block capitals, indicating that in the original it is the word Jehovah. The signification of this name is he that always was, that always is, that ever is to come. And Samuel really is saying, Joel, I want you to remember this. I want you to know, as you grow up, that Jehovah is God. And Joel, I want you to grow up this way. I want you to live with this knowledge. I want you to conduct your affairs in the light of the eternal, infinite, all-knowing God. And that's the way we want our children to grow up. That's the way we want our children to live in this world. We want them to grow up conscious of the fact that Jehovah is God and there's no other God. And so it is proclaimed in the very name of this young man. And here we see something of the aspiration or the expectation of his father. His second son was called Abiah, whose father is Jehovah. Again, you just need to look at the name and you will know Abba is the word for father. And again, part of Jehovah's name is there in this young man's name, whose father is Jehovah, or Jehovah is my father. What a powerful and meaningful name. Samuel wanted his son to know that. Though he was his father, his earthly father, and this young man, and both the children, of course, had duties and obligations under God to him, yet there was a greater, and there was a higher father that he was answerable to, and that was Jehovah God. He is our heavenly Father, the Father of all creation, and the supreme Father of all his people. It is ultimately this Father that Abiah, and not only Abiah, but Joel, and not only Abiah and Joel, but all of Israel and all of God's people must answer to. This God. As God's people, we bring ourselves under his authority. We submit to his rule as our Father, knowing that we are under his special care and his grace and his discipline. No father will ever love us as much as our Heavenly Father, nor have our best interests at heart than our Heavenly Father, and desire the greatest blessings for us in time and in eternity than our Heavenly Father. And Samuel undoubtedly brought them up that way, choosing these names carefully, wanting these young men to know Jehovah is God, Jehovah is our Father. I want you to know it, I want you to live by it, I want you to conduct yourself in this world with this consciousness. And so it ought to be for you and I, brethren and sisters. I want to dwell a little bit on the next point, and we'll not be able to return to this until after Easter, so it'll be 2 weeks in the will of God from today. But I want to dwell a little bit upon the degeneration of his sons that we read about here in verse 3, and that's where we'll take it up in a couple of weeks' time. His sons walk not in his ways. But turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. And just to say in closing lines like this, written about any family, always makes sad reading. Tragic words. We never want this to be so. But our young people that we have got expectations for, our young people that we desire to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to walk in his ways, we don't want these kind of words to be written off them, that they walk not in his ways. And that was the ways of godliness. but turned aside. Whatever way to turn aside, it may not be after filthy lucre or bribes or perverting judgment, but in some other way. We don't want them to turn aside. We want to see our children knowing God and walking with God. And so we pray for our young people. We pray for those that are absent from us as they come in the will of God to be with us. When we continue with this message, may the Lord speak very powerfully to their hearts, but may he speak to us. Maybe it's all in the providence of God that we are here together, mainly as the adults, mainly as the parents, grandparents of the children, to hear that first point of the message, what our expectation is, what our desire is. May God deepen that desire. May we do all we can to train them up in the right way and to teach them the scriptures. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for what we learn from your word. We certainly know that the Jewish people were careful in the choice of names given to their children, especially those that were godly among them. And we see it over and over again as names were given, what expectation mothers and fathers had in the naming of their children. Lord, we know that it was so with Samuel, this godly leader. He wanted Joel and he wanted Abiah to grow upright and to know that the Lord was God and that the Lord was their father and that ultimately he was supreme, he was on the throne, they were answerable to him. And Lord, we want our children to live this way. We want them to know God. We want them to know that he is their heavenly father who loves them tenderly. But as a father who disciplines when necessary, who steps into our lives when it's needful, Lord, bring our whole families under the governance of our Heavenly Father and may we walk in this life in a manner that pleases him for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn in closing to 749. God of mercy, hear our prayer for the children thou hast given. Here is the desire of parents. Let them all thy blessing share, grace on earth and bliss in heaven. All the way down this hymn, we have such desires and aspirations expressed. Help us to sing it with meaning. We say that to the Lord now as we stand for the closing hymn. 749. We are before thee. Every thought, every expression that's going through our minds, every part of our being, our hearts, Lord, you read our desires, and Lord, you see us today, what we desire for our children, for the children in our homes, the children in our churches, the children, Lord, of this generation. And it is that they will know Thee and walk with Thee. And Lord, we have prayed down this hymn in closing. And this is our earnest desire, that our children will be saved, that they will be cleansed from their sin and come to know the Savior and the precious blood applied to their hearts and lives, and be born again of the Spirit, and thereafter live for Your glory. Bless tonight, Lord, many children will come. Lord, our desire for them is that they will be saved. Some of them do not have the privilege of Christian homes. But Lord, it's our same desire for them, that they will know Thee. And so, sanctify tonight. Bless it. Set it apart for Your glory. Keep us through the afternoon and bless us, Lord, in our families, in our times together, in our thoughts of the Lord this day, on Your day. Separate us with Your blessing now. Help us to think upon these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.